So the epistle for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always for you, for the grace of God that is given you in Christ Jesus, that in all things you are made rich in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that nothing is wanting to you in any grace, waiting for the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also will confirm you until the end without crime, in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 9. At that time, Jesus, entering into a boat, passed over the water and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him one sick of the palsy lying in a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the man sick of the palsy, "Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, "He blasphemeth." And Jesus, seeing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the man sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." And he arose and went into his house. And the multitude, seeing it, feared and glorified God who had given so much power to men. Please be seated. Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Well, in this gospel account, we have, in a sense, two miracles that our Lord performs. Obviously, there is the one miracle of telling the man who is sick of the palsy to arise, take up his bed, and to go into his house. But there is also then the miracle, we can say, of the forgiveness of sins. And I think that is something that is important for us to understand too. Of how, yes, we can say that it is a miracle that is performed. The forgiveness of sins. And that is why then our Lord, when he goes through this with them, that they questioned in their hearts. Granted, they didn't say anything verbally, but they thought that he blasphemed. They thought that he was blaspheming because he could say to the man, "You know, your sins are forgiven you." So they were unaccepting that he was Almighty God, that he could do these things. And that is why then our Lord shows to them. You would think that they would see very clearly that he could read into their hearts that he was God. But he even asks them then at that point, "So what is harder for me to say? You know, what do you think I can do then? To tell the man that his sins are forgiven, or to arise and to walk off?" And so granted, the one miracle of curing the man, it is something that is seen. And so with skeptical human nature, yes, if we see something, we're more likely to believe. But even we have to say, with all the miracles that our Lord performed, with bodies that are incorrupt, different things of this nature, people still didn't believe. People still doubted the power of Almighty God. But then at that point, then our Lord shows them that he can do both, because he is God. And by the doing of both, he shows he has the power over both things. Power over, obviously, health, the miracle in that aspect. But then also then the spiritual. That he does have the power to forgive sins. And that is something that we have to then try to understand of how beautiful then the sacrament of confession is. And how we should take advantage of what is offered to us. I mean, one, yes, may we have sicknesses or illnesses, different things. We ask for prayers, we ask for cures. Maybe nothing happens. Who knows, those could be the means that will get us to heaven. You know, those could be the things that God utilizes for the sanctification of our soul. But then for the sacrament of confession, that is something that our Lord is always willing to grant. All we have to do is to approach with the right disposition, the confessional, and our sins are truly forgiven. But as I say, what a miracle that it is that God gives us that opportunity. That God gives us that chance for that. And yet, how many people don't take advantage of that? How many people don't accept that miracle that can take place in their soul? And this is what our Lord is trying to say to them. Because we can say, even in a way, that our Lord, that is the first thing that he does for this man, rather than cure him. He cures him to try to help the people to see that he has the power over both. But the first thing that he was doing was, "Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." It's an illustration of the faith that he had. And that is what our Lord was showing to him specifically. But then because the people doubted, because they questioned our Lord, then at that point, then our Lord says, "Fine. You know, what's easier for me to do? What do you think would be easier for me to be able to say? Thy sins are forgiven, or arise and walk?" And so at that point, then our Lord does both. To show to them that he has the power to forgive sins and he has the power to heal if need be. But from that, as I say, how often do we lose sight of that? How often do we just stay in our own sins? Maybe it is we forget the true power of the confessional, or we do become lax in our service of God. And so that is why frequent confession is so truly important in a soul if they want to try to strive for perfection. If they want to try to reach after that, the need for that for our souls, to root out sins, and then to stay in the grace of God. But as I say, how many people just, they don't take advantage of that. They don't see how important it is for our soul, or what a miracle that it is that God performs by that. By giving the priest the ability to, yes, to forgive sins. And yet you have many souls that, yes, they live their life away from this grace. But yet at times they will pray to God for different things. They will ask for whether cures. They will ask for material need. And yet they will not ask for the forgiveness of their sins. Because one, we can look and see that is the disposition that is necessary for God to grant our prayers too. Because when we're away from the grace of God, well, we have made ourselves an enemy to God's graces. We have made ourselves an enemy to him. So in a sense, no wonder then our prayers are not heeded. And that is what our Lord is trying to help them to say, because they immediately say he blasphemes by being able to say that. But then our Lord shows to them, "I have the ability for both. I have the power to do both." And that is what is necessary for us. Yes, we can pray for miracles. We can pray for cures. But why not go with something that is, one, more important for our soul? Because as I say, sometimes maybe the sicknesses, the illnesses, these different things are actually the means to get us to heaven. But why not do something that is more necessary for our soul and taking care of it by coming to confession, of seeking that grace, of looking to that opportunity to be pleasing to God, to realizing that then our prayers before the eyes of God, well, it would be more pleasing to Him coming from a soul that is in union with Him. And so that is something for us to think about, that is something for us to meditate upon, especially, say, if we're away from the grace of God. If we're unable to receive His graces, then to think about a good confession of what awaits off of us that is when we make a good confession, when our soul is then pleasing in the eyes of God. And that is how we must try to live our lives. And so truly let us pray for this grace. I mean, it is a grace to make good confessions. Let us pray for that grace to try to take care of our soul. Because as our Lord shows, He can do both. He can do whatever He wants. And yet sometimes, yes, maybe for the sanctification of our soul, He won't grant certain things. But one thing for certain, He will always grant to us the forgiveness of our sins if we approach with that proper disposition, if we come to the confessional with that humility. God will always grant that for our soul. But we have to take advantage of that. We have to take advantage of what God gives to us, the graces that He gives to us. And as I say, the miracle that is performed, we don't understand that. But sometimes we don't understand truly the graces of God. We don't see the effect of it. And so therefore, it doesn't make a difference in us. We don't necessarily see what happens to a soul when they come out of the confessional. Besides, as I say, the weight is taken off of them. But we don't necessarily see that. So therefore, we don't recognize it as a miracle in our eyes. How sad that is. What a lack of faith that is. That we have to have the concrete things just like the world before we'll believe anything. The physical miracle that takes place before our eyes, then we'll believe. You know, how sad and what a lack of faith that is in Almighty God. So it was truly because this man had faith in our Lord Jesus Christ that our Lord forgave his sins and then also, yes, cured him of his illness. And that's why he says to him, "Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.